welcome to the show. As everyone knows, it's March's Women's History Month. Sitting across from me is Pam Sklar, a composer, musician, and with her, her colleague, Donna Elaine. So we're going to be talking about women composers over a period of history from the 1800s right to the current time. And of course, Pam is no stranger to these studios because she's been here a number of times. And as I was teasing her in the lobby, anytime I attend a really good, solid, classical musical performance, Pam Sklar is in the orchestra. So welcome, Pam.
Thank you.
And to Donna.
Thank you
so much. Just to let our listeners know, we are going to hear some music today. We're not going to all be talking all the time for this hour, 11:30 to 12:30. Pam Sklar has brought her CDs, so we are going to hear a rendition of her work, which is terrific. In terms of women composers' recognition of their work, give us an idea of what the status of that issue is now. Is, in other words, are women composers getting more attention now than they ever were? Let's hear it from you.
I believe they are.
Yes.
We are.
Yes.
And it's refreshing to see. It should not be imbalanced, and there's so much talent. And there are many women composers who I admire greatly, including Victoria Bond, who wrote a piece that I recorded with my colleague in my band, Two Flutes, with Laura Faltzen. And also, there are people that give concerts by women I don't know, and I hear their music, and I'm blown away. So it's
happening.
It's happening, totally. It's wonderful.
And it is a shame that, historically speaking, many women composers had to write under a different name. Take, for example, Fanny Mendelssohn. I imagine that there are probably a lot of works that are attributed to her brother that were actually her compositions. Clara Schumann, I think, was a little bit different. I think she was recognized more because she had a very active performance career. And there was, of course, Amy Beach,
right,
another woman composer. But I think there were many women composers who had to write under a pseudonym or pass it off as their husband's work, and still didn't get acknowledged. So at least now, women composers are being heard.
Okay, welcome back to our listeners. And today the subject on tap is, in general, it's Women's History Month for this month of March. But specifically, we're honing in on women composers and musicians among us and in history. And I thank so much, the fact that Pam Sklar is here and Donna Elaine is here who can talk on the subject, because certainly I can't. I'm going to ask them to. I want to learn about women composers over the years. And my first question to Pam, how about your extensive biography?
Well, my background is also musical. My mom was very musical. We had a well-known violinist cousin, Michael Rabin, and our parents, I have two older brothers, they're both very musical and gifted. And our parents actually encouraged us to go into music, and we all did, although my brothers use it differently. I went into performing. I studied at Manus College of Music. I started originally playing flute when I was 5. And I used to write some compositions here and there through elementary school, high school, and something in college. And then I just came to composing about 11 years ago. And so I love composing. It allows me greater creativity, a more expansive palette, and many avenues where I use my imagination more or in different ways than when I'm just performing. And in fact, some of my collaborations include the band Angels in the Chamber. We have a new CD, Angels in the Chamber, and I also collaborate in a group called Intuition Quartet, and I perform in a duo with Laura Faltzen called Two Flutes, and we have a new CD with representing 5 composers, including myself. It also has Rain Worthington, Marilyn Bliss, Victoria Bond, Alyssa Wright, and myself.
Terrific. Okay. We have enough time for the audience to hear our first selection by Pam Sklar.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. What did we just hear?
You just heard a piece I wrote called Flashes of Inspiration and Joy, and it was inspired by the artist and musician and writer Joy Harjo, who is an incredible Native American, fantastic inspiration to me. She's a very creative person, and I was reading one of her memoirs, and she had this sentence, Flashes of Inspiration and Joy, and that was the title, that became the title. So you heard flute with Native American flute. Also in that same piece, it's a 7-minute piece, there's bass flute, so switching instruments, and there's just so much soul in Joy Harjo that I just, so it just was magical to write this particular piece.
That's terrific. The music that you want to write and perform are in your head? Is that what's going on with you creatively? You hear this music and then you compose it, or you want to do it? Something triggers your interest is what I'm trying to get at.
I actually seriously began writing because I really had to. I just felt it was a natural extension of what I was doing, but my process is probably like other composers who I admire very much, where I'm sensing something, I go somewhere, there's a place, and it's a sense of whether it's a theme or a person or a setting, and melodies come, and I just write them down, and they grow, and then I keep thinking, oh my God, this is somebody else's, I'm going to get a letter, you know, with a lawsuit saying that's my material, but so far that's not happened, so I believe it's coming somehow through me in some way. It's not like playing at all. It's a very different process.
How do you physically do this? Do you have to just separate yourself from your family and friends and go into a, you know, into a cabin in the woods? How do you do this?
It's interesting. It's almost like alchemy. I suppose it is a form of alchemy. I sit and I see something. I use shapes and colors. I have some synesthesia. So often what happens is it just transforms into some sounds, which are a melody. And I use that melody, and then I harmonize, or I take it in different directions. Different instrumentation is exciting because I can write for viola in a different way, of course, than flute. I love that range, and cello. And I have pieces that use unusual combinations of instruments, but those help feed sort of the story or whatever is you want to intuit from hearing the music. So it would be anything from bass clarinet to piccolo, to a group for strings or mandolin quartet, which is also something I wrote 2 movements for mandolin. And it's a string quartet with mandolin playing the first violin part. And that's going to be given on April 7th at 3:30 at the Hudson River Museum in the Planetarium. And the piece is called Mandolin on the Moon. That's something that's exciting. There was a theme for that. It has to do with the 50-year anniversary of the first manned lunar landing. So, and the first movement is about a little clock. It's an Italian title, which also has to do with time. So it's a great prelude for Mandolin on the Moon.
Do you have favorite women composers that you keep going back to perform, that you want to know more about? How does that work with each of you? Donna?
Well, I have to say there are not that many women composers for flute specifically, like flute solo, flute and piano, at least not in history, but currently, we were just talking Joan Tower, Catherine Hoover, Uebayashi,
Jennifer Higdon.
They are all writing for flute, and it's so wonderful to perform their works.
Right. And historically, Leonard Bernstein obviously figures mightily in this discussion, doesn't he? Because of the break with his homogenizing, you know, contemporary music and classical. I guess
yes.
Paul Goodman also, you could talk about that.
Writing for theater.
Yes. Yeah, but we're working for theater. So, you know, how do you see that, the evolution of the music profession under some of these composers and performers? I mean, that must have been a wonderful experience, both of you, growing up in this profession.
Well, Leonard Bernstein was very inspirational, and I remember at the time when he had written, you know, in conversations in groups of different people, where he was actually criticized because they said, oh, he's not really classical, so his music is not as good because he's writing West Side Story. And I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. He's even more gifted because he can write for different mediums like that. Not everyone can. You have people like Stephen Sondheim. And then you have film composers. I love Bernard Herrmann. He was just amazing. So you have different vehicles for composers, and it's all, to me, it's all equal, just like different styles.
The topic today is women composers and music performers, and Pam Sklar is here. She's a flutist and a performer. I've seen her many, many times. And, of course, Donna Elaine is here. Both are affiliated with the Hof Bartholson School in Scarsdale. And before the little break, we were going to hear a selection. Pam Sklar set it up for us. What are we going to hear?
It's a piece. One of my groups is Intuition. Our new CD, brand new, is called Rendezvous, and a track from that by Irene Marr, who's a fantastic songwriter. She wrote a piece called The World Today.
Okay, that was terrific, Pam. Thank you. That was wonderful.
Thank
wonderful.
You.
Wonderful. Donna Elaine, jump in now with any comments you want to make about women composers and Women's History Month.
I guess I'd like to talk about our affiliation, Pam and I. We were trying to figure out how long we've known each other, possibly 25 years.
Yeah.
It's so wonderful to have a colleague like Pam.
Oh, likewise.
we love to play together. One of the things we did last year is we commissioned the flute club, I should say. We have three flute groups at Hof Bartholson, junior flutes, the adult
flute. You were telling me that on the phone, yeah.
Yeah, and then the flute club. And so because of our long association as colleagues, we asked Pam to write a piece commemorating the former director of the flute club who had retired the year before. And she, this Ellie Ball, who was the director of the flute club for 40-something years, arranged a piece, The Welsh Lullaby, for the flute club, and that became their signature piece. And we thought, as a tribute to Ellie, we would have Pam write a piece. It was entitled Homecoming, and it was a set of variations based on The Welsh Lullaby.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to work with the choir, with the kids. They were working very hard.
Yes.
In the concert, there was a lot of great focus and all ages, and it was just wonderful to hear it all because I wrote it for 8 flutes, so there are 5 separate flute parts plus an alto flute, bass flute, and a piccolo part.
And how long did it take you to compose this?
Probably within 2 months, I'd say.
Yeah, we didn't give her long.
No, but it was fine. There were different segments. The request was something jazzy, something interesting, do something different with it and use certain chords and things. So I have one theme which is played simultaneously forwards and backwards in different keys. It seemed to work fine. It was fun to do. It was a challenge, and it took a lot of energy to do this because I knew there were flutists of different levels. So I had to
integrate it, yeah.
Right. I had to challenge enough of the more advanced players but keep it simple enough for the younger players, the earlier stages of playing, and then the audience had to be able to like it and get something from it. So that was a pleasure.
Terrific. Okay, it's 12:28 already, and I think that gives us just enough time to end the broadcast.